numbers sixes and sevens. That refers to the number of syllables, syllable beats in the in each line. See, then let me mount and soar away to the bright world of endless day. Okay, long, I guess, yeah, long meter then has eight syllables in each line. So in case anybody asks you that finale, and common meter has eight, it runs like that. That's what Amazing Grace is, common meter. I think Margo's gonna do what she can, as soon as she can, about band practice. I don't know what, if that hymn was even getting through with the,
the
trumpets or... Trumpets are rather distracting, I guess. Any of you that can come down closer, it does help in here, it not being mic'd in here. We have as our, it's hard to believe that, you know, the week was on Monday, everybody was saying, oh, is it really only one day? We were so tired Monday because I guess it was just a shock to the system. And now here it is Friday, and it's hard to believe that the week has gone so fast. And for those of you who were at the Honky Tonk last night, please try to put that picture out of your mind. And don't tell Phoebe. Don't tell Phoebe you ever saw me like that. I had on an outrageous outfit.
I liked it. You got your picture. To get your picture.
Yes, I got some pictures.
I can see it, can I?
I don't know if I'll let you see the picture or not. The guest that we have here today that I'd like for you all to get to know, I wish you could get to know her the way I have, but in order to do that, you have to go up to her house, and I don't think she'd mind that. Would you?
I don't guess. I told them, I had a notion to tell them next time you come down to bring the whole town down.
Bring the whole town.
Yeah.
See, the class yesterday.
Right there yesterday.
Culture class, the West Virginia culture class, went to Phoebe's house yesterday, and they brought her back. That's how we got her here. And Phoebe Parsons lives in Orma, in Calhoun County, which is about four or five counties west and a little bit south of here. It's still pretty much in the heart of the state, Elkins being fairly east. But she lives about, as I travel to her place, thank you, Marla. Anything, can
yes.
They do anything about the trumpets? They are on their way.
I said uncle's husband, he's big enough, they wouldn't listen to me.
What?
She sent her about the trumpets up on the hill. I've been doing an apprenticeship. You probably have heard something about those. It's a National Endowment for the Arts program that Augusta runs, and you have a master artist of some of anything, any of the traditional things. It could be, you know, they've done one in. Well, Clyde Case did one in basket making, and Phoebe, I was her student, went to her place, and sometimes she would come down off the hill, and we would meet at a neighbor's place. But most of the time, it was done at your house, I think.
Yeah.
And after we looked at pictures, and after we ate a little bit, and talked about the garden, and that's some garden up there that she has, I mean to tell you. And sometimes we had to go shopping. We looked all over Spencer for a pair of dancing shoes for her, but we didn't get the shoes, but we got the camera.
I got the shoes, and I got them fixed, but they're too heavy for me, you know what I mean?
To
I
dance
got, the shoes is too heavy. Should have got a lighter pair of shoes to put them on.
We'll have to do something. Can't have you not dancing. As anyway,
know,
Phoebe, you may also have seen her in Mike Seeger's film that he made. What is that called? Is it Dancing Feet or
Talking
Feet? Talking Feet. Yeah. And you know, of course, to Phoebe, these people have come and gone in and out of her life for years. You know, and so. Mike Seeger to her is just that Seeger boy, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
So Yeah. And Phoebe has been to, you went to Newport one time with your brother, didn't you?
Ken Davison and my son, we went, and me and my daughter went to, we went to Newport, Rhode Island, me and my son.
And sang at the big festival up there?
Yeah, I played and sung up there, and then we went to the World's Fair at New York, you know, and my daughter went with me there.
And, yeah, picture was in, you know, picture in the paper and all kinds of stuff up there in New York City, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
And that was in what year? Do you remember that you went to New York City?
Well, I don't hardly remember.
It's in the 60s sometime. Oh, they all remember.
It's in 60s.
What am I doing introducing her? I guess you guys know who she is in the first place.
There might have been a lot of them there. There's lots of people met me after that and bragged on me to be in there and not wanting to hear me and this, that, and
that. Yeah. So anyway, my working with her has been quite an experience. And so I wanted her to come here. So just for a little while anyway, maybe you could get to know some of her music and a little bit about her. And you know what? I did with them your hymn, but I don't do it like you and I do it.
Yeah?
No, let's do it. Let's you and me do it together.
Okay.
All right. There's your banjo right there. You want to do it? Let's do it with the banjo.
Well, it'll be better, I figure. I ain't done it for so long, I might forget it.
You need a new case here, don't you? Or is that what
I need a case, but I don't have any. I had to tie it up to keep it from falling out there. The case is older than a banjo thing.
I don't know how you even hold this thing.
I don't either, hard.
You're sure you don't?
No, I don't. I'm just going to hang that old coat there. It's in the way.
Where'd you get this sticker that says Ground Pounder on it?
That was the kind of, I bought it, and it was already in it, and I ain't never tied a tuck out.
That's something that, you know, Phoebe turned 82 this year. She and I have the same birthday. Do you need anything else?
No, I don't guess.
You and I have the same birthday. A little different between them, though.
Which were you doing first, singing or playing the banjo?
What do you mean?
When you were little.
I started playing the banjo and singing about the same time.
Which is, about how old were you?
Oh, I was around 10. I started, you know, had to learn them. These banjos I played on didn't have no frets on. They're a little bit harder to play than this kind, but I made out.
Made out, yeah, I guess you did. So weather's really hard on a banjo, isn't it?
Huh?
Weather's hard on a banjo.
Oh, yeah. That boy comes around there and plays every Sunday night with us, and we practice. And he's a good player, but he gets a banjo out of tune. He had this your turn crossways, and I had to have Jerry to fix this up here. And I said, if I keep on, he's got my other banjo. Uh-huh. If I keep on, I'll have to buy a banjo. He'll have mine toward us.
Are you playing, what, do they come up to your house to?
Yeah, every Sunday night, he does. And if he can get my other son, you know, Dennis, you've seen him.
Yeah.
Get him to play, but he won't hardly play. We get him to play, he's a real guitar player.
So who is this other boy? Is he one of your boys?
Yeah, Eugene. He's the one.
Oh.
You've seen him.
Yeah, Eugene. How many kids? You told me, I've forgotten. How many kids do you have?
Had 8 and raised 6.
What happened to the other two?
Well, one fell and cut his head during, took 6 stitches to sew it up on a, you know, on an old thing turned up around us, one of these stoves, you know, the big kind of stoves they used to have. And that was to keep the coals from rolling out, burnt wood. And he got in a little rocking chair I had made for him, and he rocked back. He wasn't 2 years old yet.
Oh.
And he rocked back, and when he fell, he just cut his head from here to here, took 6 stitches, sew it up. And he took a growth in behind his liver, and it killed him. Mm-hmm. And the other one, he cranked to death. He took a red colic. He's gone on 5 days old when he died, at last. And died, you know.
Yeah. So you raised 5 boys? Five boys and one girl?
Yeah. Had 7 sons and 1 daughter.
Where'd you have your children?
Well, I had them.
At home?
Yeah, all of them at home. Just had a doctor one time, the last time.
Did you have a midwife? You had a midwife with you. Phoebe has a couple of pictures with her, taken when she was a young girl.
A 10-year-old.
One with her mother and father that's really outstanding.
I still got them in my pocketbook. Yeah,
so if you all want to see those at the end of class, come up and take a look at that. They're outstanding reproductions of those old pictures.
You see, I was 10 years old, and I was standing up there with my mother. She is up there, the doctor. We raised two of her sons, my half-brother's children. The mother died when the last one was born, and we just like sisters more than anything else, you know, more than our real sisters. They're too old for us to play with, and this, that, and other. And so we raised them two. Mm-hmm. And I was 10 years old, and I was 4 years older than that biggest one. And I don't remember how old she was, older than the little one, mm-hmm. Gladys. And so we went over and had our pictures taken together. And I don't remember who put the ribbons on my hair. I didn't know about that. I remembered everything else. But I didn't remember who put the ribbons in my hair. My half-brother, my mother, and my mother couldn't tie a ribbon hardly, and he's a pretty good hand, though, to fix ribbons and stuff. He might have done it, but if he did, I can't remember it. But I'll tell you what come to me. Now, this is kind of funny to think about. My oldest sister, and I'm 82, and she's been dead a long time. She is the first one. You know, we had five in our family, and she was married twice, my mother was. She went to school enough that she learned to read, and she read a poem for me. And I hadn't thought of this poem. It was, I don't know how old I was when she read it to me and learned it to me, you know. She kept reading it till I learned it. And it come to me. I was over at my son and stayed all night, and I was just laying there, and it took me a good bit to go to sleep, and I don't know that poem went to coming to me. And I just kept on, you know, and directly I could almost, and still I don't know exactly all of it yet, but almost. If it's okay, I'll just say that for you, I learned. What come to me now, and that's funny, I was awful small. Now, this is about a cat, and its name's Lightfoot. Now, Lightfoot on the hearth he lie by the kitchen fire, dreams of dainty dinners such as cats desire. Cake and cream and chicken, gravy rich and nice, platter filled with speckled feast, plump and tender mice. Lightfoot moves a whisper, shakes a velvet ear. Who on earth in this house thought that his steps so soft could hear? Squeak, there was no one awake in all this quiet house, and no one knew that in the night good pussy caught a mouse. Now, I think that's great to come to me for that many years back. And I do. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And then I know that another poem. We'll take a few minutes.
Go ahead.
If I'm holding up your time.
No. You just tell them.
There's another one. Now, I'd run over it a few times before that, you know, way before that. That was when I was a little girl. That come to me, that their poem did. And how I done it, the Lord knows I don't. I never thought about it till, you know, till then. Well, now I learned this one, too. This is a pretty good one. But I'd said it a few times, you know, it wasn't near that long. Not half, not a third of those things. Anyhow, how many leaves are on the tree? How many fish are in the sea? How many stars are in the sky? Can you tell me if you try? Why the dog should wag his tail, why the spring should never fail, I'm afraid that thought you try, you could never tell me why. I thought that was a nice poem.
Yeah. We ready to sing? Let's do our song.
I don't know if I can sing a bit or not. It's been so
me long. Either. It's too early in the morning. I did too much hard singing last night.
I sing so low, though, it won't hurt you to sing.
No, it won't.
Lo, temptation around me, gather about this poor soul of mine. Closer come and hold, dear Father, my trembling hand in thine. Lay me not in danger, gather my courage and strength all gone. Hold my hand in thine, dear storm clouds o'er me, Lord, O Father, now be thou nigh. With a sheltering mercy, hover my soul to the other side. Lay me not in danger, gather my courage and strength so gone. Hold my hand in thine, dear Father, for I cannot walk alone.
It's usually pretty mixed. Yeah, most. Oh, yes. She knows some really funny songs. Do you?
Yeah, I'd be saying them all the way coming up now. I'm about to last yourselves to death yesterday.
But you sang that one. You sang it to me in the motel room over there at Glenville one time. Remember when Margo and I.
Was it Hard Times?
Yes.
That's what I sang for them.
Well, sing that for me. Can you sing it? Do you do it with the banjo?
No, I don't play the banjo and I sing it. And I don't know, I forget now. Sometimes I forget and get a verse ahead of it where it shouldn't be if I don't just study it out, you know, before I play it.
This is not really a ballad, but it's really
funny. It's just
funny
a song. funny, you know, it ain't no really song. I don't call it my kind of song. Let's see. Now, I can think of it to get it started. Oh, I went to see my love last Saturday night, and through the dark antlers I'd crept like a fight. I tapped at the door, my love let me in. The chatting and talking, oh, then it began, and it's hard times. Oh, first said she, and then said he, what a poor little scoundrel is this before me. First said she, and then said he, she up with a broomstick, and at me she came, and it's hard times. I said, wait a few minutes till I tell you my name. My name is Jim Wilkes, I go by that name. My name is Jim Wilkes, I go by that name, and courting your daughter's one purpose I came, and it's hard times. She beat me over the head, she beat me to the door, she beat me and beat me, I fell in the floor. I out at the window through the gleet, ice, and snow, I mounted my horse, and home I did go. The blood had run down my shins and great gores, for never was beat with a broomstick before, and it's hard times. I went to the doctor to see. I looked at the doctor and he looked at me. He said, Jim, you're awfully white. You must have had one awful fight and it's hard times. Said, Jim, lie down and lie right still. He gave me two shots instead of a pill. My head was swelled up as big as a balloon. The doctor, he throwed me clean out of his room and it's hard times. Oh, that miss, that pretty little dear, she came to the ball games, how nice she'd appear. With her whalebone corsets as tight as they could squeeze, she'd have to unlace them before she could sneeze, and it's hard time. Come, all you young men, and listen to me. Be careful whose daughter you go to see. I get it mixed up there. You may be like me. You may be like me, meet up with your doom. It's go like a devil, get beat with a broom, and it's hard times.
All right. Yeah, indeed. See, there's been some research done on some of Phoebe's songs, and some of them, if you look back in the literature, the storyline and everything, it's been there for a long time, and you get clues of it with this thing about the bone and the corset, and it's real interesting to read some of the scholarly work that folklorists have done about Phoebe's singing. You feel like doing another one with your banjo? That one that will you sleep?
No. Oh yeah, just sleep in the barn.
Well, yeah, and also playing one that you would play if you were in a banjo contest too. Let them hear your
Well, I'll sing this in first.
Your frailing.
Yeah, I'll sing this in first.
Okay.
And if I miss it, you just have to look over me. I forget sometimes, you know. You can sing that thing. She helps sing that.
Maybe. I'll jump in there if I remember.
Lay asleep in your barn tonight, mister, as it's cold lying out on the ground. I won't do you no harm tonight, mister, if I stay in your barn overnight. Now my wife said she'd like to be earning some more money to add to our home. Now this talk, it was finally started that the stranger could stay in our home. Placed in the room on the stand, and the moment my eyes fell upon it, I picked it right up in my hand. Now this note said my wife and stranger, they had left and had taken my son. Oh, I wonder if God up in heaven only knows what that stranger had done.
I don't know if it's going to be a tape or a record album, but anyway, a recording that's coming out. Jerry Milnes, that works here at the Augusta office, has been collecting, I guess it's banjo tunes. Is it banjo or singing that that Jerry came to your house and recorded?
No, I just played it. I played Cabin Creek and John Henry the old time way back when I first heard it when I was a little girl.
So she'll be featured on that. It'll be coming out soon, so you can watch for that. Phoebe usually enters the banjo contest around. You're gonna do one of your one of your fast ones?
Yeah,
all
right.
All right.
You gonna dance?
No, I'm not gonna dance.
I see. I have all the work to do, and they.
I know she still says she's gonna teach me to dance.
Well, you said you'd give $100 if I'd teach you, and I'll do my best for $100. You know that. And I never did fail too bad on teaching when I started.
No, that's true. At one.
And I just want to play these two. I've won. And if you don't believe it and never come to my house, I can show you I've won over a half a suitcase full of first prizes. I win so many first prizes, they tried to get me out, and the crowd wouldn't let them, and I just quit anyhow, you know. So there's a lot of them would come, wouldn't play if I'd play and win the first prize. And I went to places and where they was real banjo players. I don't want to brag on myself, for I know I don't play that good. But I had signed my name, you know, and they said, ain't you going to go out there? My nephew did, said, ain't you going out there? Darryl McCummers, a lot of people knows him. He said, ain't you going to go out there and sign up? Said, no, Phoebe Carter signed up out there, Phoebe Parson. And they said, well, that don't make any difference. Said, oh, she wins the first prize every time. I win money instead of the ribbon. You know, there wasn't any ribbon, but I got the first prize. And they said, there's I don't know how many played real good players. And they said, a lot of them, but they didn't sign up, you know, they played anyhow. And they said, just go up and play what you want to. And Darryl McCumber's there. I said, come on, Darryl. And he got his guitar and he played, and we just played there. And they just, I went twice and done that.
Yeah, that just same had a place. Good time.
So, yeah, at a fair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here they charged me for going in. I said, do you have to pay to win and play in the contest? And they said, no, and they gave me back my money.
All right.
So this is the Minner on Hook now. I'm going to try to play the two, but I've won so much often, you know, years ago. Feast all summer, feast all fall, got a little minnow and that was all. And on a hook, set on line, feast no more till summertime.
For 20 minutes without stop.
I don't play very long. They say, why don't you play longer? And I said, if I do, I get tired and I have to quit anyhow. And I just play a little bit and quit.
Play a little bit and quit. Let that be a lesson to you, Dave. That was Minner on a Hook.
Yeah, it was Minner on a Hook. And this is Walking in the Parlor. My half-brother, he played that, and he won many a contest, you know, through the country. They'd just have contests, and he'd win on them two pieces.
Yeah. You got to learn to talk right. O-W is often pronounced E-R. So.
This is what he called walking in the parlor.
Playing the banjo for dances.
For dances? Oh, I was about 12 years old. See, I started to play in 10. And I didn't have no banjos to play on, you know, just the old ones that they'd make and find over them and make and put flower poke heads in them. And the best head you could get in a banjo like that to make it sound a little was a cat head. They'd just kill a cat and stand aside, they would, and put a head and make a good head for, you know, some flower poke head. They'd sound dead, you know, they wouldn't sound very loud. And that's the kind we learn on, and it's wooden keys, and they wouldn't hold up hardly. I'll tell you one little tale if I've got time, Jack.
Oh, yes.
I'm taking all this work away from this woman.
No, you're not doing anything. We're just having a little culture shock here, getting used to it.
Well, we'd get our crop laid by, and we'd go to other people's places, you know, and help them out in their crop. Well, now, they didn't have no money, as we didn't either, and they might have had a lot of meat and fodder beans and stuff like that ahead, you know, that they didn't use, and they have to use it up early for wintertime. They don't need it much of a summertime fodder beans I'm talking about. Well, anyhow.
Wait. What are fodder beans?
Well, you just pick your beans when they're full, and you string them up on a string, and you hang them up in the sun, and you dry them around the stove, and they're called fodder beans. You can cook them in the wintertime.
Dried beans?
Yeah, they're dried, you know. They have to dry to keep the bugs out of them, you understand?
Okay.
You keep them in the cool places you can. Okay. Well, that's what it was, and they'd have everybody do that, you know. They raised all their eating. They didn't ever buy nothing, only salt.
Yeah, I didn't mean to mess
well,
up the story.
Well, anyhow, Anyhow, I could just play a little, not too much, just learn to play a little. And they said, bring a banjo. And I said, bring a banjo to hoe corn? I wasn't hardly big enough, you know, to hoe much at first. I'd been. They said, yeah, just bring a banjo along. And they give my dad a dollar, you know, allowed him a dollar, and my brother 50 cents, and my sister, the other sister, 25 cents. And they told me to sit down on the stump, and when they come out to where I was at, I could go to play until they could hear me. Now, they couldn't hear me very first, this banjo, you know. It didn't sound out there too good. And when we got done, they went to quarrel and said, you never let her do anything. She played the banjo for me. It was Potty Miles McCummers was a man's name. We lived pretty close. And he said, that's all I wanted, just to hear her play. I didn't care.
So did you get money, too, for sitting on a stump and playing banjo?
Well, sometimes they'd give me a dime or 15 cents. There wasn't no money to give at that day and time, if I know anything about it, you know. But we had really had a good time. They'd come to our house. And
when you were in the field there while they were working, how old were you then? Playing the banjo?
Oh, I couldn't have been very old, for I'd started when I was 10. Yeah. I mean, about 11, 12, something like that.
But you got out of a lot of work.
I got out of a lot of work. But I didn't at home. I had to work at home.
You couldn't fool your mom with this banjo, huh?
Oh, she'd make me get up in the night and play for her. We wouldn't let her sleep. And I had a gathered on my hand, you know, a hoe handle hurt my hand. It'd come a gathered on my hand, and I was getting stiff. It hadn't come yet, but it was coming, you know. And she said, you get up and play the banjo. I said, no, my hand is too stiff. And she said, you get me awake, you get up.
Yeah.
I had to get up and play a little for her anyhow. And boy, it wasn't long, but I couldn't play any. It was on there for 2 weeks.
What happened to your finger?
I had a bone felling before I was married.
Had a what?
A bone felling on my finger, and the bone come out.
Oh.
And that's before I was married. And it was 2 weeks of coming, and I went to the doctor towards the last, and he said, it's turned to the gangrene. You'll have to get a permit from another doctor. I said, no, you won't. I just went back home, and I just kept his coming loose, you know, on joint. I just kept on, and I just took it out myself. And it was for a year then before it got well, you know, before I could use it.
It's a wonder you didn't lose your hand.
Yeah, it is, but...
Because you had
gangrene. You know, it's some people pretty hard to kill.
I guess so.
Yeah, I know it was dangerous, but you know how it used to be. You know, just a doctor, you had to walk for miles to go and see the doctor and everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did, when you were having your children, did you get to go to the doctor at all before the babies were born?
No, I never went but one time to just see, you know.
Yeah.
And that's all I went. No, there used to be, there wasn't no such things as getting a doctor and going and getting it, just had midwife.
Oh, for having children, you didn't go?
No.
Nobody did it with a doctor?
Anymore, they go from the time
first pregnant until the babies have grown, don't they? Yes, they do.
Yes, that's right. Now, I had two sisters and a brother to have twin babies. My oldest sister had twin babies, and the one that died here a while back, you know, after my husband died, Sari. She's 3 years older than I was. She had twins, her last one. And Noah, he had twins, his last one.
Noah is, that's your brother, Noah.
Yes, my whole brother. That's all the whole brother I've got.
And now Noah Cottrell is some kind of a famous person around our state also, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And I first met Noah... sounds funny saying Noah. I've met Noah in Glenville. He was playing a fretless banjo.
Yeah.
He was just sitting there playing. And Tracy and I picked up Phoebe and went down to his place where he's living with his daughter.
He's living with his daughter.
Yeah, and how old is he now, 90s?
He ain't 90. He's about 80. He's about 88. My sister's about 92 or 3. Yeah. That, and I told you.
He was down we found him. Where he wasn't supposed to be, by himself he was, with nobody out there to watch in case he fell or anything, out there digging potatoes.
Well, he's already raised a bunch of taters this year and last year. It was so hot, he come down there and I was down at my daughter's, and he said, I dug a bushel of taters yesterday and it was so hot. I said, I don't even hear any more about it.
Yeah.
And they said he went out and about fell in the creek. And he's getting pretty bad about his mind, you know, anymore. And you know what he said to you? What did he say to you? Slapped you on the face?
I don't know. You never know what Noah's going to say.
I think he might ask if you wanted to get married, remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Noah's been proposing for a while. he didn't see Tracy in the back seat.
I say he's out of way.
Well, you know, he didn't see Tracy sitting in
the
back seat.
Well, if he'd have seen him, it wouldn't matter. He wouldn't have known any difference, you know.
Where did I lose control of this conversation?
I told him that you had a boyfriend, and that's okay, man.
He said that's okay.
He's a father of 16 children, and they lost one, raised 15. And he's been married 3 times and outlived all his wives.
I ain't going to see him by myself, I'll tell you that. Anybody's had 16 kids, that's proof enough for me. I'm mercy. And he had how many wives with those 16 children?
He's been married, 3 times.
Yeah. But, the third wife was when he was a little bit older.
Yeah, the third, the last one was when she didn't live with him too long, but it was 7 or 8 years, something like that.
Yeah. But his first
wife... But he outlived all of them, and that's kind of a funny thing to think about, ain't it? And he is way older than any of them, but he married them young, I'm there too. He married two. One was, she had a young one. And she got her divorce from him, you know, and then he married another, and she is younger than that. And I'd say, Noah, when he went to get married this time, that time, the second time, he said, will you sign the papers for me, for her, you know? I said, no way. Yeah. No, I'll never do it. Why? I said, you don't know what you're doing or nothing, or you wouldn't be getting married to a young girl that young. Well, he went ahead and married her anyhow, and they signed for him as for her. And
she was under 18.
Oh God, the one he married? Under 18? What are you talking about? She said more than 50.
Oh my goodness! And he was what, like 35?
No, I don't think he's hardly that much older than she was then.
He was like 30.
The first one he married, she had a young one. I'm talking about Phoney. You know, Phoney was younger than. First. And then he went to marry this woman. I about had a heart attack. I'm not kidding nobody. I said, so help me, he surely ain't going to get married. Yeah, he's going to marry a religious woman. I said, I don't care if she is religious. No way. I said, you can stay if you're young, and you don't need no more women. Yeah, he is going to get married. These boys was all but two. He had twins, you know, and they was with him. He's going to get married. He said he'd have somebody talk with him, you know.
Yeah, a likely story.
You better listen. And I said, no, he don't take that woman now. Oh, yeah. Well, that woman now, she's dead and gone. I don't tell lies. I tell the truth. She'd get out and get drunk. She's alcoholic.
How old was she?
Oh, God, she's pretty near as old as I was. I don't know exactly. But anyhow, and she'd get drunk and she'd stay away for 2 weeks and come back and beg him to take her in, and he'd take her in. And
well, he just needs somebody to talk to.
Oh, my gosh. I know that, But still.
At drinking, here to go. You've never done any drinking.
Never in my life, and never I only tasted of it, and they'd make me do that, and I'd spit it out.
Yeah.
I never did drink no whiskey, no beer, no nothing.
And they still came and would take you to dances because you played this banjo.
Oh, yeah.
And was it any of your brothers or sisters that played music with you?
Noah played a little.
Yeah, they took you and Noah to the dances?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were, what, like, you were just a teenage girl
then?
Oh,
I was real young the first time I went, a time or two, and they'd have me to dance by myself, and they'd give me $1 around, you know, for dancing.
Yeah.
I wasn't dancing the reels, you know, I was too young. Well, I learned them off from old people went through there. I know all kind of lonesome tunes, you know. And they'd go through there, and they'd play a tune, and I'd see them, and I'd just learn it then, you know. And that's where I learned most of my tunes at. And then after I growed up a lot, I learned after the people that I'd hear playing, you know.
Is your banjo too far I mean, did you have to put it in a real complicated tuning to do Boston Burglar?
Yeah, but I can put it in there if you want me to do it. If I think I can, I'll do the best I can.
Yeah, will you? Yeah, because Boston Burglar, you may have heard other people do that. It's an old ballad. I'm still trying to learn it from her, get all the words straightened out. But
did I sing it for you?
And the people that came here. Because, you know, I want you to go home with a picture of the, of West Virginia and the Appalachian area for the variety that it is, you know. It's not just one kind of people. You can't just say that everybody from Brooklyn is one kind of person, you know, and all people from California are one kind of people. But of all the places that I've lived, West Virginians get stamped into this little tight little stereotype so quickly. So there's a great variety of music done here and backgrounds of people. Some people were brought up strictly, very strictly religious. And others were, you know, did a lot of dancing and partying, you know. So it's all different kinds. But it was a real joy studying with Phoebe, I can tell you that. She gets this thing in these old lonesome tunings. It's nice to hear some of the songs. If you want to pick
I'm gonna have to take them down so I forget them so easy. Forget the songs anymore, what did you say about it?
No, I was just going to tell them, if you all want to see a picture, there's a picture of Phoebe and me on her porch, on the back of the apprenticeship booklet that's down in the Augusta office. You get to see a picture, a little bit of where she lives.
So. I think Frank George, he runs around and plays music all the time. You know him. And he said there's a man inside of New York was wanting to know where I lived, and he wanted to come and put me on television, let me watch myself play on television. And he said, do you have a helicopter? He said, no, I don't have a helicopter. That Frank George is like that, you know.
Yeah.
He said, well, you might get a helicopter and fly up in her Barn Hill field and walk down the hill and said, ain't there no other way to get up there? I don't know if he told him or not.
I can take him up there. I can drive up to your place, can I?
Yeah, I think you fessed a bunch up there once.
Yep.
See, I miss it and everything. I'm going to do my best singing, but I might miss it, but enough till you can tell about what it is, you know. And I sung a few.
Yeah. You just sing it right out there so they can hear it on the top row.
Yeah. forget my son. That wouldn't be coming.
You know what? But for those who, you know, were trying to listen to some of the particular words, can you sing the first two verses of that, just sing without the banjo? Just let us just hear what is.
Well, I'll see if I can. I don't know that. I never did try that, you know. I'm
okay.
High.
But just
after
try.
After estimate, I'm worried about singing that.
Dude, that's high song. Yeah.
Then you can get that. I was born in Boston, a city you all know well. Was raised by honest parents, and the truth to you I'll tell. Was raised by honest parents, was raised most tenderly, till I became a supporting man about the age of 23. Now, is that what you can't know about?
Yes.
I'll write that down for you.
All right.
No, yeah. I thought that was an awful beautiful song. And I know one more if I can get it in tune. Now, it takes a long time to tune these kind of tunes when you ain't used to playing them, you know.
Yeah.
The ones I've got on one, and mm-hmm. I've got another one. Just go try this one if I can get it in tune.
Are you working in the garden this year?
Lord, how much? I ain't done no work for 5 or 6 years or seven, maybe long.
In the garden?
No. Last time I worked in the garden, they took me over in the truck. And I couldn't be in there without doing something. And there's just a plant in a tater here in yonder for early, you know, to gravel on early. I couldn't keep from trying to do something. I got a few of them. I said, I'll help plant a few. And my legs then was hurting, you know.
Yeah.
A long time ago. They've been hurting for a long time. What's the matter with them? Must be arthritis.
Too much dancing.
Now, don't you say that anymore. I don't dance any harder. Anyhow, I just laid a tater or two down. I went and had a few. I got so tired, I fell over for having to quit. And yeah. They took me back out to the truck, and I sat in the truck till they got done playing.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't done no work for years.
Planting potatoes is hard, though. Now, that's hard
well,
on
the back. Well, I was doctoring anyhow, and I wasn't.
I've wanted you to hear, just listen to Phoebe talk about just regular things about her life for two reasons. Also, first of all, to get to know her. And I really feel like that the only way you really get to know anything about this music is it's not like it's a separate art form. It's involved in her life. And it's all interwoven there. You can't separate it out. And also because I wanted you to hear some of the speech patterns and the words that are used very not as frequently now as they used to be. And I know whenever we would go shopping, I would just wish that just for the some of the old English words that have gone out of use, that I could remember them. I can't keep them in my head unless I go to see her every week.
Feller that used to, what is his name, to teach the banjo class, and she said he'd done come.
Ron Mullinex?
Yeah. He wanted me to learn him all these years, and I never have got a chance of went, you know, and tried to get to learn it, but I was busy, and I was busy, and this, that, and other. You never get a chance hardly to. He wanted to learn all these old time tunes, and that is nice to learn.
Yeah.
A lot of people never heard tell of.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, there's a lady, when I was up here the other time, and I played this tune, and she said you played the prettiest tune I ever heard, but I don't know if I had it in your tune or not. I said, there, I'm going to play right down here, they said, and I said, you come down. If you ain't got my tune, I'll tune it for you and show you.
You tuned her banjo?
She wasn't there. She would never come.
Oh.
She said it was the prettiest tune, talked like she'd run away with it, but she, I don't know.
Yeah.
I might have to play a little bit if I can think of it. When I lived at London, the city of Maryland town. When I lived at London, the city of Maryland town, I met up with a lady, her beauty never was found. Call her Birdie Polly, a name I knew so well. Call her Birdie Polly, a name I knew so well, who loved everybody and sent her soul to hell. Where is Birdie Polly? Way yonder she stands. Where is Birdie Polly? Way yonder she stands, with rings on her fingers, her lily white hand. Polly, Birdie Polly, come and go along with me. Polly, Birdie Polly, come and go along with me, before we get married, some pleasure to see. I'm afraid of your ways. Willie, oh Willie, I'm afraid of your ways. The way you've been treating me, you'll lead me astray. Led her over hills and dark alleys so deep. Led her over hills and dark alleys so deep. Polly got mistrusted, begin for to weep. Cry. Threw her arms around me and she began to cry. How can you kill a poor girl who loves you so true? Stabbed her with a knife and the blood it did flow. Stabbed her with a knife and the blood it did flow. Under yonder's white pine, poor Polly sure did go.
How long are you going to be here all day? Are you going to be here all day?
I don't know. She said she's going to take me back and take me somewhere else or something. I don't know what they're going to do with me. May okay. lock me up. If they do, will you
they
take me?
They may lock you up.
Huh? They lock me up if you take me. Okay.
All right. I'll take you if they lock you up. I would, you know, definitely say that it would enrich your lives many times if you could spend just, you know, 5 or 10 minutes with Phoebe somewhere. And if you find out how to spend just 5 or 10, let me know how to do it.
I talk too much. I told him, I said, that's all I do. And Jerry said, if you had any company, I said, not on when you fellas bring me, you or Jenny.
That's right. That's right. When we come up to see you, that's about the only company you get.
Yeah,
somebody comes up there.
You know, when I was pretty bad there, they had to stay with me all the time. And they'd get me out on the porch, and I'd sit there and watch them go over to the garden. And now they'll come down now and then, and I've went up a few times, but not much. I'd count to climb up them stairs.
Yeah.
Up to her house.
But I can give you Phoebe's address. I can give you directions of how to get there. You can. She has no telephone, so it would be something that you'd probably be better off to give me a call. I can give you my phone number, and I can, you know, put you in touch with her if you want to go to see her.
Eugene or Bethany?
Yeah. Well, I'll call them.
Either one, you know, they mm-hmm. can.
We'll call your children. You can go up there and go up and see her. And you can definitely write. Give me your address box if they want to write to you. It'd be Phoebe Parsons, P-A-R-S-O-N-S. And it's...
Route 1, Box 25.
Route 1, Box 25.
252-258, Orma, WVA.
Yes, Orma, O-R-M-A, Orma, West Virginia. And what's the zip code?
25268.
25268. A little note is nice. We have your evaluation forms the office has sent over. They have with them, and this is your class list of everybody's names and addresses and all like that on here, not just for vocal week. I think they have swing week and children, quilt design people and stained glass. Everything's all on one list. And your evaluation form, and I've been asked to explain to you that you fill out one form for the whole week. There's, you know, different classes on the one form, okay? And these are very important. Please fill them out and put them in the office before you leave. And elder hostel people will have your own form, okay? You don't need one of these yellow ones. You'll have your own thing that you fill out. I hope that you feel like you've taken, that you're going to take back with you something from this class. It's really not a class where you sing yourself, but I thought maybe at 9:00 in the morning you might not feel like it anyway. And that this was a class where you absorb a lot of things firsthand that you would not be able to, you know, it's not the same watching a video. It's not the same looking at something or hearing a tape as it is seeing the person face to face. And any of the addresses of any of these people that you want, I think it's a good idea. I know some of them that were here last year said they heard from many, many students and it meant a lot to them. Before you go, there's just one little short piece of a parting Primitive Baptist song that I wanted to sing for you. Dear friends, farewell, I do you tell, since you and I must part, you go away, and here I stay, but still we're joined in heart. Your love to me has been so free. Your conversation sweet, how can I bear to journey where with you I cannot meet? Dear friends, farewell, I do you tell, since you and I must part, you go away, but here I stay, and still we're joined in heart. I'll see you next year. That's good.
Yeah.